Here we are, Eric.
Wow.
This is day 89. We got a new book of the Bible today. You're pretty excited about the book of Judges, Eric?
I don't like the book of Judges.
You pretty stoked up?
I'm stoked, but I don't like it.
You don't like it. Tell us how you feel about
it. Well, I don't like the book of Judges. Okay. It's frustrating. Woo-hoo. You know, it's frustrating because like what you were saying, like they're good, they're bad. They're good, mm-hmm. they're bad. They're obeying, they're not. You know, and it's like this cycle that happens in the book of Judges is just rough. So I don't love the book of Judges. I love God's word. I love what we can learn about God and what we can learn about ourselves from it. But the book of Judges is hard to read.
It's frustrating.
And it's got some really dark, horrible things that happen
in
it. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, but we're reading the book of Judges. We're going to start today.
And also we're going to jump ahead to 1 John chapter 2.
That's right. And our friend Othniel is here. Mm-hmm. Hello.
Yeah.
I'm Othniel.
Hey, Othniel. How are you
I've
doing?
I've come here to judge you.
Oh, really?
And I find you lacking.
Othniel.
Oh, man, he left.
You're so judgmental.
Wow, what a jerk. All right, off we go. Judges,
okay.
Chapter 1, Judah and Simeon conquer the land.
About time.
After the death of Joshua, the Israelites asked the Lord which tribe should go first to attack the Canaanites. The Lord answered, Judah, for I have given them victory over the land. The men of Judah said to their relatives from the tribe of Simeon, join us to fight against the Canaanites living in the territory allotted to us. Then we will help you conquer your territory. So the men of Simeon went with Judah. When the men of Judah attacked, the Lord gave them victory over the Canaanites and Perizzites, and they killed 10,000 enemy warriors at the town of Bezek. While at Bezek, they encountered King Adoni-Bezek and fought against him, and the Canaanites and Perizzites were defeated. Adoni-Bezek escaped, but the Israelites soon captured him and cut off his thumbs and big toes.
Mm-hmm.
Adoni-Bezek said, I once had 70 kings with their thumbs and big toes cut off, eating scraps from under my table.
Wow.
Now God has paid me back for what I did to them. They took him to Jerusalem, and he died there. The men of Judah attacked Jerusalem and captured it, killing all its people and setting the city on fire. Then they went down to fight the Canaanites living in the hill country, the Negev, and the western foothills. Judah marched against the Canaanites in Hebron, formerly called Kiriath Arba, defeating the forces of Sheshai, Ahiman, and Talmai. From there, they went to fight against the people living in the town of Debir, formerly called Kiriath Sefer. Caleb said, I will give my daughter Aksa in marriage to the one who attacks and captures Kiriath Sefer. Othniel, the son of Caleb's younger brother Kenaz, was the one who conquered it, so Aksa became Othniel's wife. When Aksa married Othniel, she urged him to ask her father for a field. As she got down off her donkey, Caleb asked her, what's the matter? She said, let me have another gift. You've already given me land in the Negev. Now please give me springs of water, too. So Caleb gave her the upper and lower springs. When the tribe of Judah left Jericho, the city of palms, the Kenites, who were descendants of Moses' father-in-law, traveled with them into the wilderness of Judah. They settled among the people there, near the town of Arad in the Negev. Then Judah joined with Simeon to fight against the Canaanites living in Zephath, and they completely destroyed the town. The town was named Hormah. So the town was named Hormah. In addition, Judah captured the towns of Gaza, Ashkelon, and Ekron, along with their surrounding territories.
Israel fails to conquer the land. The Lord was with the people of Judah, and they took possession of the hill country. But they failed to drive out the people living in the plains who had iron chariots. The town of Hebron was given to Caleb as Moses had promised, and Caleb drove out the people living there, who were descendants of the three sons of Anak. The tribe of Benjamin, however, failed to drive out the Jebusites, who were living in Jerusalem. So to this day, the Jebusites live in Jerusalem among the people of Benjamin. The descendants of Joseph attacked the towns of Bethel, and the Lord was with them. They sent men to scout out Bethel, formerly known as Luz. They confronted a man coming out of the town and said to him, show us a way into the town, and we will have mercy on you. So he showed them a way in, and they killed everyone in the town except that man and his family. Later, the man moved to the land of the Hittites, where he built a town. He named it Luz, which is its name to this day. The tribe of Manasseh failed to drive out the people living in the Bethshan, Tanakh, Dor, Ibleim, Megiddo, and all their surrounding settlements because of the Canaanites were determined to stay in that region. When the Israelites grew stronger, they forced the Canaanites to work as slaves, but they never did drive them completely out of the land. The tribe of Ephraim failed to drive out the Canaanites living in Gezer, so the Canaanites continued to live there among them. The tribe of Zebulun failed to drive out the residents of Kitron and Nahalol, so the Canaanites continued to live among them. But the Canaanites were forced to work as slaves for the people of Zebulun. The tribe of Asher failed to drive out the residents of Akko, Sidon, Alab, Akzib, Helba, Aphek, and Rehob, Instead, the people of Asher moved in to among the Canaanites who controlled the land, but they failed to drive them out. Likewise, the tribe of Naphtali failed to drive out the residents of Beth Shemesh and Beth Anath. Instead, they moved in among the Canaanites who controlled the land. Nevertheless, the people of Beth Shemesh and Beth Anath were forced to work as slaves for the people of Naphtali. As for the tribe of Dan, the Amorites forced them back into the hill country and would not let them come down to the plains. The Amorites were determined to stay in Mount Heres, Ajalon, and Shalbim. But when the descendants of Joseph became stronger, they forced the Amorites to work as slaves. The boundary of the Amorites ran from Scorpion Pass to Selah and continued upward from there.
Judges chapter 2, the Lord's message comes to Bochim. The angel of the Lord went up from Gilgal to Bochim and said to the Israelites, I brought you out of Egypt into this land that I swore to give your ancestors, and I said I would never break my covenant with you. For your part, you were not to make any covenants with the people living in this land. Instead, you were to destroy their altars. But you disobeyed my command. Why did you do this? So now I declare that I will no longer drive out the people living in your land. They will be thorns in your sides, and their gods will be a constant temptation to you. When the angel of the Lord finished speaking to all the Israelites, the people wept loudly. So they called the place Bochim, which means weeping, and they offered sacrifices there to the Lord.
The death of Joshua. After Joshua sent the people away, each of the tribes left to take possessions of the land allotted to them. And the Israelites served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and the leaders who outlived him, those who had seen all the great things the Lord had done for Israel. Joshua, son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110. They buried him in the land that had been allocated at Timnath-Serah in the hill country of Ephraim, north of Mount Gash.
Israel disobeys the Lord. After that generation died, another generation grew up and did not acknowledge the Lord or remember the mighty things he had done for Israel. The Israelites did evil in the Lord's sight and served the images of Baal. They abandoned the Lord, the God of their ancestors, who had brought them out of Egypt. They went after other gods, worshiping the gods of the people around them, and they angered the Lord. They abandoned the Lord to serve Baal and the images of Asherah. This made the Lord burn with anger against Israel, so he handed them over to raiders who stole their possessions. He turned them over to enemies all around, and they were no longer able to resist him. Every time Israel went out to battle, the Lord fought against them, causing them to be defeated, just as he had warned, and the people were in great distress.
The Lord rescues his people. Then the Lord raised up judges to rescue the Israelites from their attackers. Yet Israel did not listen to the judges, but prostituted themselves by worshiping other gods. How quickly they turned away from the path of their ancestors who had walked in obedience to the Lord's commands. Whenever the Lord raised up a judge over Israel, he was with that judge and rescued the people from their enemies throughout the judge's lifetime. For the Lord took pity on his people who were burdened by oppression and suffering. But when the judge died, the people returned to their corrupt ways, behaving worse than those who had lived before them. They went after other gods, serving and worshiping them, and they refused to give up their evil practices and stubborn ways. So the Lord burned with anger against Israel. He said, because these people have violated my covenant, which I made with their ancestors and have ignored my commands, I will no longer drive out the nations that Joshua left unconquered when he died. I did this to test Israel, to see whether or not they would follow the ways of the Lord as their ancestors did. That is why the Lord left those nations in place. He did not quickly drive them out or allow Joshua to conquer them all.
Okay, now we're going to jump forward here to 1 John. Chapter 2. My dear children, I am writing this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father. He is Jesus Christ, the one who is truly righteous. He himself is the sacrifice that atones for our sins, and not only our sins, but the sins of all the world. And we can be sure that we know him if we obey his commandments. If someone claims, I know God, but doesn't obey God's commandments, that person is a liar and is not living in the truth. But those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love him. That is how we know we are living in him. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did.
A new commandment. Dear friends, I'm not writing a new commandment for you. Rather, it's an old one that you've had from the very beginning. This old commandment to love one another is the same message you heard before, yet it's also new. Jesus lived the truth of this commandment, and you also are living it. For the darkness is disappearing, and the true light is already shining. If anyone claims, I'm living in the light, but hates a fellow believer, that person is still living in darkness. Anyone who loves a fellow believer is living in the light and does not cause others to stumble. But anyone who hates a fellow believer, is still living and walking in darkness, such a person does not know the way to go, having been blinded by the darkness. I am writing to you who are God's children, because your sins have been forgiven through Jesus. I am writing to you who are mature in the faith, because you know Christ who existed from the beginning. I am writing to you who are young in the faith, because you've won your battle with the evil one. I've written to you who are God's children, because you know the Father. I've written to you who are mature in the faith, because you know Christ who existed from the beginning. I've written to you who are young in the faith, because you are strong. God's word lives in your hearts, and you have won your battle with the evil one.
Do not love this world. Do not love this world nor the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but are from this world. And this world is fading away along with everything that people crave. But anyone who does what pleases God will live forever.
Warning about Antichrist. Dear children, the last hour is here. You've heard that the Antichrist is coming, and already many such Antichrists have appeared. For this we know that the last hour has come. These people left our churches, but they never really belong with us. Otherwise, they would have stayed with us. When they left, it proved that they did not belong with us. But you are not like that, for the Holy One has given you His Spirit, and all of you know the truth. So I'm writing to you, not because you don't know the truth, but because you know the difference between truth and lies. And who is a liar? Anyone who says that Jesus is not the Christ. Anyone who denies the Father and the Son is an antichrist. Anyone who denies the Son doesn't have the Father either, but anyone who acknowledges the Son has a Father also. So you must remain faithful to what you've been taught from the beginning. If you do, you will remain in the fellowship with the Son and with the Father. And in this fellowship, we enjoy the eternal life He promised us. I'm writing these things to warn you about those who want to lead you astray. But you have received the Holy Spirit, and He lives within you. So you don't need anyone to teach you what is true. For the Spirit teaches you everything you need to know, and what He teaches is true. It is not a lie. So just as He taught you, remain in fellowship with Christ.
Living as children of God. And now, dear children, remain in fellowship with Christ, so that when He returns, you'll be full of courage and not shrink back from Him in shame. Since we know that Christ is righteous, we also know that all who do what is right are God's children. And that is our reading today. What a reading it was.
It was indeed.
Oh, Neil. I see why he judged us now.
Yeah.
Pretty cool guy. Okay. We read that. Two questions of mine, Chip.
Yes.
How does this help you love God more? And how does this help us love others more or better? So, Chip, how does this help us love God more?
Yeah. So, for me, this was a very easy one. No-brainer. This is one of the top ones. It's because we have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father. Mm-hmm. Like I can, and that's right. That's the image, you know. Let's plead my case before the Father. You know, Saint Peter will let me in the pearly gates.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Let's
that whole
plead
thing.
My case. Uh-huh. You know, I got more good than bad. I can plead all I want,
yep.
But it's not going to do anything. But I have an advocate, one who stands in for me, Jesus. He is Jesus Christ, the one who is truly righteous. Mm-hmm. So He can do it, and He does do it, and He mm-hmm. did do it. So I believe in Him. So I love Him so much because of that, because I can't.
Yeah.
And He can, and He did. And so I'm very thankful for that. We have an advocate who pleads our case, and He is Jesus Christ.
Yeah, we don't have to represent ourselves in the eternal court, you know? Like, mm-hmm. we don't have to.
Yeah, because we would lose.
Yeah, we would definitely lose. I love that. And, you know, I'm not staying away from Judges for any particular reason, but this helps me love others. I guess you could turn to Judges and say, you know, there was cooperation in trying to conquer the land, which I do like that, but you can't ignore the new commandment, right? I love this.
Yeah.
I'm not writing a new commandment for you. Rather, it's an old one you've heard from the beginning. This old commandment to love one another is the same message you heard before, yet it's also new.
Yeah.
But what? Okay, so why is it also new? Well, because if you jump back to John, where Jesus is telling them, hey, here's the thing, I have a new commandment for you. Mm-hmm. And He says, love each other.
Yeah.
Right? That's the old commandment. Right? That's the old commandment. He says, love each other. In the same way I've loved you, love each other. And so it's a new commandment because Jesus does it to a whole different level.
Yeah.
Right? Love your neighbor as yourself implies that there is still an imperfection to the love, because as we love ourselves, it's still imperfect. But loving each other the way that Jesus loves us,
mm-hmm.
that's a whole different thing. It's an old commandment. Yet it's new because Jesus lived the truth of that commandment, and now you also yeah. are living it.
Higher standard, better standard. Yep. Everybody's blessed if you do it the Jesus way.
Yep.
And yeah, that's for sure.
Yep. So that's how good. Can I love others more or better? I can love them like Jesus loved them.
There you go.
It's an old commandment, Chip, but it's new.
Thanks, Eric.
Yeah.
Yes, that is true.
Cool.
Hey, thank you guys for joining us.
No sweat. I was going to be here anyway.
There you go. I know, but you know, they have a choice.
Eric. Oh, them.
You don't have a
choice. Them. All the people.
Okay. Well.
I was listening from the hallway, and I found your reading mediocre.
Othiel, get out of here.
Get out of here, Othiel.
Get out of here.
Get out of here.
Beat it.
Go back to
beat it. Beat it.
Oh, yeah.
Dude.
Yeah.
Just beat it.
Oh, man. So good.
Dude.